D&D Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Who are they?
The Guardians of the Wheels.
The Staggering Dragon presents Guardians of the Wills, a Star Wars podcast. And now here are your hosts, Neil and Dustin.
Hey everybody, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Neil, and welcome to the Guardians of the Wills podcast. So of course, we're going to move on to Chapter 11 of The Mandalorian, The Heiress. But before we get to that, let's go to our featured D20 Radio Network podcast of the episode.
And that podcast is the Genesis Archives, a Genesis RPG actual play podcast. This podcast is a place where a bunch of nerds, artists, writers, and musicians collaboratively create stories through the tabletop RPG Genesis. Check out their latest episode, Under Your Skin Part 3, Unpleasant Company. You can find this and many other great podcasts at d20radio.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for that. Okay. Well, we're going to move on to our cantina talk before we get to the Mandalorian.
We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
Pull up a stool and grab a glass of blue milk. It's time for cantina talk.
This time, we're going to talk about what's coming ahead here with the novels that are going to be coming out, the High Republic stuff that's been being thrown around for a while now. I mean, we all know it's coming, but there was an 8-chapter excerpt, however you say that word, excerpt, excerpt released for Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. It's just available to read online. I mean, it's not like we went and torrented it or anything like that. It's just available. So we read it. We both read it.
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
Okay. So the first thing that I noticed on like the first, I don't know, we read it online, so I don't know what pages or what, but it was right at the beginning. They talked about Abrogato Ray and it like clicked in my head. I was like, wait a minute, Abrogato Ray. That's from Legends. What is that? So I had to get on Wikipedia and look it up, and it's in Heir to the Empire. And I was like, oh yeah, that's, I'm pretty sure that's where Luke and Lando, or Han and Lando, one of the two or three of them, were on that planet. And I remember why that clicked into my head. But anyway, I'm assuming that was a little homage to Heir to the Empire. Regardless, I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't like the greatest thing I've ever read.
Yeah.
It was kind of like,
it's a fair assessment.
If you read the back, I'm assuming the back of the book synopsis is part of what was on this excerpt, like this little summary.
I assume so.
What we're going to tell you isn't any kind of spoiler because you can gather all of that from that little synopsis.
Yeah. And how much can really be spoiled in the first 8 chapters?
Yeah.
8 very, very short chapters, we should say, or seem short. Like
right.
You said, we were reading it. I was reading it on my computer, so I really don't, I don't know how many pages of a book I went through, I guess, but it didn't seem like very many.
The thing that I, one of the things I thought was really cool is, so this is set before Phantom Menace. Didn't exactly say how many years, but I think somewhere we read it was like 200 years before.
That's what I was going to say. It was a few hundred years, I believe.
So they kind of start to set up this Disney canon before episode 1 timeline.
Right.
And I thought it was kind of cool because they talked about how the Jedi Temple on Coruscant could only like govern or protect or whatever the like core worlds of the Republic.
Yeah.
So in places like the Outer Rim, there's like these little regional Jedi outposts.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool idea. It kind of made me think of the old Tales of the Jedi comics where a Jedi and his Padawans had you know, they were the protectors over a system or something like that.
They had their own part of the galaxy.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. The what happened really, really quick is there's a ship that's in hyperspace. Something gets in its way in hyperspace. It explodes. Pieces of it go flying all over the place in the system, wreaking havoc, blowing up stuff.
Everything.
There's planet-wide evacuations, and the Jedi are called in to help, and that's kind of all we really know. We don't know what made the ship
explode
or whatever while it was in hyperspace. It just said there was something in the way or some obstacle or something like that.
Mathematically impossible.
Yeah. And I assume that it's going to be the Yuuzhan Vong invasion and here they come.
I'm on board with that. What I was going to say is pretty much what you said. I enjoyed it. It didn't make me think, oh my God, January needs to get here now because I must right. see what's going to happen. But I'll read it. One thing I wanted to bring up, and you kind of already did, is when it takes place and we're thinking a few hundred years. I really wish in my head that if they're going to do this whole High Republic thing, that they wouldn't have made it. And I know a couple hundred years is a long time, or a few hundred, however many hundreds of years is a long time, but I wish they would have went back a couple thousand years.
I agree.
And so that it could, because conceivably you're going to have people or beings that are alive in the galaxy that could, you know, have something to do with the Phantom Menace onward already or right. during this, however long this timeline goes. So I just wish they would have gone back far enough that it was just totally not possible for it to matter. I don't know. How old is Yoda?
Was he saying Jedi 800 years old or something?
That's what I was thinking. It was 800 or 900 years. So if we're right that this is 200, 400 years ago, whatever, like he's an adult?
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to play a part in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, maybe that's part of the plan. But in my mind, I'm assuming it's going to be totally away from him and them. And so I wish they would have just went back far enough that it could not possibly affect him, I guess. But I'm honestly, I didn't really have high hopes for the first 8 chapters. But now I sort of want to read it.
Yeah, it definitely brings you in and makes you want to find out what was going on.
Yeah.
Gives you a little hook.
Yeah, it does. Okay, here we go. So, according to Wikipedia, it takes place between approximately 300 and 100 years BBY. So, right as you said, about 200 years, give or take. So, yeah, right. Yoda's definitely alive. But like I said, maybe they just plan on being a part of it. But in my head, I thought the whole High Republic thing was going to get away from, start its own thing and not have to do whatever. But whatever. That's fine. That doesn't change the fact that it did kind of, I'm sort of excited to read it. Not, like I said, I'm not just going to mark it on my calendar, but when I realize it has come out, because I believe it's January, it's supposed to be January, when I realize it has come out, I'll say, oh yeah, I was going to get that, and then I will reserve it at the library, or get my place in line at the library. I probably won't run out and buy it.
Not going to stand in line to buy it.
Nah, probably not. And probably won't buy the digital version. I will probably get it from the library. Being in the small town that I'm in, they won't have it here, and they will have to get it from somewhere else. So it'll be a minute.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of the digital version, I did see the audiobook is going to be read by one Mark Thompson.
Oh, really? Okay.
That means I will be listening to that.
There you go.
Because I love me some Mark Thompson.
Will you do both? Read it and listen, or just listen?
I'll probably listen to it first and then maybe read it. Yeah. We'll see.
Now, will it be the abridged version, I assume? Isn't it usually when they're audiobooks?
It said it was unabridged, actually.
Okay.
It's the full Monty.
So then you won't miss anything anyway. So, yeah, there's no reason to do both at that point.
Yeah.
Then you can listen to it at work.
They don't do a whole lot of abridged anymore.
Oh, they
don't? I don't think so.
Get your money's worth.
That's right. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. Like we said, we're not going to rush out and get it or anything, but it'll definitely be on our radar. So it's worth checking out those 8 chapters for free online, I think.
I agree. But anyhow, enough of that until it comes out. Now we're going to move on to our prime focus.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
It's time for this episode's Prime Focus.
Boy, howdy.
Yes.
I'm ready. So, we're going to watch Chapter 11 of Mandalorian, the Heiress, and we're going to chatterbox during it. Obviously, we assume you have already watched it, so...
Right.
You're not going to care that we are not going to be explaining exactly what's going on. We're just going to talk as the episode is happening. So,
yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready to hit play whenever you tell me to.
Oh, I'm ready right now. 1, 2, 3, a play.
This is made by Disney?
Yeah. Just started. Never. Now I see the recap is happening. So, while we're watching the recap, I'm just going to go ahead and start here because a lot of last week we talked about, is this a filler episode and are you upset about it, for lack of a better word? We're going to both agree that this is not a filler episode, I assume. Yeah, and I agree it is not. So... Watching this episode again, we're all assuming we know what's going to happen. It's a fairly short episode. It's only 30, 35 minutes, whatever it right. comes out to. It seems like, and I'm probably just having it this way in my head because I want the ones with a bunch of stuff happening to last longer, but it seems like the ones that are filled with stuff are always shorter.
Yeah, I agree. Seems like that happened on the first season for sure.
It did, or it seems like it anyway. I don't know. But I think this episode gives you some stuff to think about beyond just this show. And there's the Lucasfilm logo, which is going to get me every time it comes up. I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of ramifications coming out of this episode for some stuff we're going to probably talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. Ramifications potentially for Star Wars in general.
Yeah.
Feels like we've got a theme going this season of his ship limping around. I mean, obviously that was a major plot point in the last episode, but it really doesn't get all the way fixed this episode.
That's true. So this episode is directed by... Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yep.
And I'm assuming everybody saw everything online about how she mirrored this first sequence with Apollo 13 as an homage to her dad, Ron Howard.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She does good stuff, too.
Yeah, the episodes that she's directed... I mean, there's really not a whole lot of episodes I'm going to say I don't like, but it seems like the episodes that she directed have been pretty stinking good.
Yep, I agree. So we see Frog Lady is still there. We assume Baby Yoda or the child has not eaten any more of the eggs, but I guess we don't know, because if she nodded off, he totally did. And we know that. So yes, yeah, we're getting our homage, as you said, which is kind of neat. It's a, and I, these kind of things, I would never notice that just on my own because I'm not smart enough to do that, I guess. So the fact that people pick up on that kind of thing is pretty cool.
Yeah, I never would have noticed that.
So, we're landing on a particular world. And were you excited when you realize, you know, you start to see Mon Calamari and stuff like that on the ground and we're going to a watery planet and all that?
I was, because what the sequel trilogy severely lacked was the classic aliens.
Yep.
And what it seems like The Mandalorian has really made an effort to bring the classic aliens into the fold. So yeah, seeing Mon Calamari and the Quarren walking around, I thought that was great.
I agree. Poor ship. Just can't catch a break. No, and I agree with you, because that was something that kind of gets me in the sequel trilogy too, is we have some established planets and some that are only ever just kind of knew about. Why didn't we get to go see some of those at some point? Not to mention, like you said, the established aliens and whatnot. And how cool is it that
part
that
of
crane?
An AT-AT.
Yeah, how cool is it that that crane's an AT-AT? That is awesome. Ugh. Them flopping that ship down though with the AT-AT and the crane again. To tell somebody this is a TV show 20 years ago is nuts. Do what you can.
Things we only dreamed of.
Oh. Rock Lady just wants to go hatch her babies. No one will let her. I was hoping that instead of going on an adventure with Mando and the child, we would just get to watch Frog Lady and her husband fertilize those eggs. Unfortunately.
How do you think that happens? How does that biologically happen?
I don't know. But I want to see it. Graphic detail. It's a good thing they landed right by him.
That's what I thought the first time I saw it. I was like, wow, this is either a really small place and this is the only place you can land a ship on the whole planet, or they got really lucky.
Because I don't think that the ship was in shape to just go ahead and fly around and make sure they got to the right spot. They were just going to get there.
Baby Yoda starving because he's been told he can't eat any more of those eggs.
He just wants to eat them so bad. Poor guy. Now we get to continue on with the quest of turning Baby Yoda to who he needs to go to, and you got to find more of my kind. And there's our mystery woman from the trailer.
Yep, that's right.
Now she disappears.
Who a lot of us thought was Sabine.
Yep. And I'm not going to lie, hoped.
Oh yeah, Sabine. Totally.
I still don't...
Yeah, it's not out of the question that we won't see Sabine at some
point. Yeah, I don't rule that out at all.
So, is it weird to you that Mon Calamari and Quarren, who are basically fish people, eat fish?
Yeah, it does. It also makes me think, if you're going to travel the galaxy, you're just going to have to apparently... Hope you can survive on whatever the local cuisine is. Yeah. In this restaurant, he serves you, but it's out of a hose above your head that you could do yourself. If you wanted, I would think.
In the age that we live in of the pandemic right now, it sure makes you hope that whatever they're going to eat doesn't kill them.
Yeah, it does. And how many drunkards do you think come in and just put their mouth on that spout? Open it up. Here. Maybe it's pureed Frog Lady eggs. Baby Yoda will be happy. I don't think it is.
No.
This is one of those things, though, with it being on Mon Calamari and all that stuff. Like, this whole episode just feels like if you're a super Star Wars fan like we seem to be, this whole thing just feels like it was built for you.
Yeah.
Going right. to this planet to see how it acts, and then, of course, getting to see people leap from the animated world to the live-action world. How many people, if any, did you talk to in the last few days who watched this but didn't watch the cartoons? Have you talked to anybody like that? Does that make sense?
I don't think so. The only person would be my wife, who is an extremely casual Star Wars fan. And honestly, if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't know anything about it because it's not top on her list of priorities, but she did text me furiously on Friday during the day when she first watched it about things that were happening in this episode and asking me a bazillion questions.
So when she was texting you, was it because she knew when these other Mandalorians showed up that was a big deal, but didn't know why?
Yes. Basically asking me who the red-haired lady was.
Okay. That is good enough. The only reason I bring that up is because it seems to me from what I've read, which it's hard to have the proper view on it because, of course, when we see Bo-Katan, we know who it is.
Right.
But not everybody is. But I think they did a good job of saying, this is serious now. You need to pay attention to who this person is, people who have never seen her before.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difficult thing to achieve, in my head anyway. On a super popular show like this, when you're going to bring in characters that are already established, but not in this. It's also cool to see them fly in as they're doing now, and just to see people or other Mandalorians that you know are equals to Mando.
Yeah.
If not, maybe could take him out if they wanted to.
You know, they're really turning a corner with what they're doing in Star Wars right now, because there was always this stigma of, well, we probably shouldn't put stuff in the movies that's from the cartoons or the books because the layperson may not understand what's going on. Well, they just flat out passed that hurdle, or leapt over that hurdle, and went straight to this.
And that's why I'm bringing that up, because from what I've read, it seems that this has been well received by people that wouldn't have watched the cartoons. So not knowing who she is, but realizing that she must be somewhat important, and the fact that she straight up says she wants the Darksaber and it should be hers, and yada yada yada, all that stuff. I cannot get around it in my head other than thinking, when they decided to do that in this show, to start bringing in characters from the animated series or wherever else they pull from, do you think they've already had in their head that if this goes over well, we're going to do one of two things? We're either going to bring them all in, not all of them, but bring a lot of them in as we want to, as we feel like they would fit, or we're looking at series or whatever you want to call it, limited series or real multi-season series for these characters to maybe have on their own.
I am Bo-Katan. I think it definitely gives them the option to do something like that when they see stuff like this get well received. And I would be shocked if they didn't have at least skeletons of plans for stuff like that. And now, you know, the amount of things that they can do now has opened up a great deal once you have an episode like this and it's well received and people like it and they understand, for the most part, what's going on. They want to see more, so you can do more stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I totally agree. I know I want to see it. If they announce a Bo-Katan limited series tomorrow, I will mark my calendar so that I can watch it.
Sure.
As soon as possible.
Hey, so what's up? Does it bother you that these ships actually look like they're floating on the water? Like, why aren't they hovering on repulsor lifts?
I guess I never thought about it.
I guess maybe it is hovering.
I hadn't thought about it. That does kind of look like it's hovering back and I'm just... there. I never even had it occur to me, though.
I don't know. I always have the problem of getting things from Star Wars where I'm like, that's too much like real life. That's too much like Earth. Shouldn't be like that. It's galaxy far, far away. So how many times has Mando been in the situation where he's straight up going to die and somebody bails him out?
Once this time. I don't know. It is a running theme. It's the life of a lonely adventurer.
One might say that the Force is with him or his baby Yoda, and this is the destiny that is supposed to take place.
About the only complaint I really saw about this episode was wondering how old Bo-Katan should be at this point in time. And honestly, I'm not real sure how old she should be. But, well, I guess as one person pointed out, wouldn't she be about the same age as Obi-Wan?
Yeah, probably. I was trying to think, so...
Who's been dead for
stuff,
a few years now?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, well, maybe she's younger than Obi-Wan. Definitely looks younger than Alec Guinness.
Sure does.
Who has since passed in real life and Star Wars.
In Star Wars. Time. Yeah.
But, so if all this stuff in the Clone Wars, like leading up to the end of the Siege of Mandalore and all that stuff was 20 years before A New Hope. And then from A New Hope to Jedi was like 6, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking 26 years, and then throw on another 5, we're talking 31. She would have to be in her 50s, right?
I would think so. That sounds about
right.
Because
if she's around 20 years old in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I would think.
I wonder how old Katie Sackhoff is. I bet she's my age, which is
probably around
early
40,
40s.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you say around your age, so 26. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Well, here, I pulled up an article saying that she should be about 45 years old.
Okay. Well,
okay, so she's not as old as I would have thought,
that's fine.
As I would have guessed. Which meant you were about right. As far as Katie Sackhoff, yeah, she's probably about 40, I suppose. Oh, hell, this article probably says. I'd read it. Man.
So, yeah, it's not too far off, then. It's still... I'm buying into that.
I do, too, then. She's exactly 40.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, there you go.
So, now we find a babysitter for Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Well, Daddy.
I hope
to go
they
do
eat
business.
Him. She just cuddles him right up to that thing so he can get in there. It's like, look at that. Have you ever seen these before?
Yeah. So that one hatches, and he's like, "Oh man,
oh
I can't wait
God.
To eat that one."
I bet that's juicy. I gotta look up here before we get there. This officer. That we're going to see, who's been in 9 million different shows.
I did look him up.
You did? What's his name?
Oh, man, I can't remember his name, but he's been in, like, multiple Transformers movies?
Yes, as a butt face in those, too, if I remember
right.
Yeah,
that's probably where I remember him from, because a lot of the other stuff that his was on his IMDb page, I wasn't real familiar with. Pirates again. So we got the Gunzotti cruisers, straight out of the cartoons, which is fantastic. We're just bringing more stuff in from the animated series.
Titus Welliver.
Titus, yeah, there you go. That guy.
I think he plays a butthead in everything he's ever been in.
Hey, so how big is a Gunzotti cruiser? Because there's a lot of stormtroopers on this cruiser.
And by the way,
they aren't all dirty and raggedy like the ones that were on Navarro in the first season.
You are right. That is true.
These ones are very clean and polished, like your typical stormtrooper.
All I could think, though, when I was watching that, when I saw him, even though I didn't know his name was Titus, I should have, when I saw him show up as an Imperial officer, like, oh my, he is built for that role. And I was kind of almost sad that this is going to be his only, most likely his only chance at doing that.
Right.
But it is interesting you bring that up about the stormtroopers being not ratty and dirty and looking pretty polished. They're headed towards the cargo bay.
You know, we get the stuff in the expanded universe with the Timothy Zahn trilogy of the Empire isn't gone. It just because the second Death Star blew up doesn't mean
right.
that every Imperial laid down his gun and resigned his post. You know, the Empire is still going. There's still remnants out there, so.
Yes. And there's gonna be for a while.
Yeah.
And there should be.
Which
Absolutely. Is why Episode 7 addressed that issue with the New Republic having to take down what was left of the Imperial remnant. Oh, is that not what it was? Never mind. I got confused. I forgot.
So, again, there's 50, 75 stormtroopers on this sucker? Jeez, that's a lot.
Not for long.
That looks just like the Death Star turbo lift.
Part makes me happy. I like it. They did such a good job of making the Mandalorians not unstoppable. That's not the right word, but look very good at what they do.
Gives the reason that people would be afraid of them.
Yeah.
When they hear Mandalorians.
Like, watching this, you have no problem believing that three or four of them would run roughshod over this ship.
Yeah, right. And they all the Imperials know
yep.
that's going to happen.
Yep.
So is Moff Gideon the Disney version of what Thrawn was in the Timothy Zahn trilogy? He's kind of like, I mean, as far as we know right now, he's like the leader of what's left of the Empire.
It seems that way. You're right, it does. I hadn't really thought about that.
Maybe he's just the leader of this part of the galaxy.
And you bring up like the Timothy Zahn thing, and they always talk about getting all the Moffs together and stuff, or this Moff and that Moff. So yeah, maybe he is just the Moff in this territory where this is mostly taking place. If you can even say it's all taking place in the same territory, I don't know.
Right.
But with the fact that Mando's ship can barely move, it must be. Having said that, though, of where this is all taking place between, because they've been to Tatooine a couple times and then, you know, a few other places. How excited would you be the first time he does just land on Coruscant to see
Oh, man.
See it in all its, you know, what we assume is glory.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Did Coruscant get blown up in episode 7? Was that one of the planets that got blown up?
No, that was the Hosnian system.
That's right.
Because the capital of the Republic didn't stay on one planet for very long. They like rotated it. And it so happened to be on Hosnian Prime at the time that Starkiller Base blew up that system.
That's right. It rotated conveniently so that when they blew up 87 planets in one shot, that it could be on just whatever planet, no one would care. How far have they gotten? Sounds about right.
Which again goes back to the point I've raised before. Why do you feel the need to, like, why would you do that? Wouldn't it be more of an impact if that was Coruscant?
Oh man, yeah, absolutely would be. But then would you have been pissed?
I mean, I don't know. If I don't know if I would have been irritated or not. I would have been. It would have had a lot more impact.
Impact, yeah, it would have. I don't know if I would have been. I can't say whether I would have been mad or not, but I wonder. It's hard to say how I would have reacted at the time. But emotionally, yes, I would have reacted differently.
Yeah.
At the time, I kind of reacted like, wow, so now they can just blow up 76 planets at once. No big deal. A lot.
It's that whole Star Wars super weapon paradox that we've talked about before.
You know, I don't know why I'm thinking about this now. I should have said it. We were talking about that Light of the Republic thing, but I did kind of appreciate that they were in there in that excerpt when they were talking about, one of them mentioned building their lightsaber and talked about getting the crystal on Elam or Ilum or however you say that.
Yeah.
I did like that they were going to keep that kind of thing, you know, make sure they keep all that stuff proper now. Whether we agree that it should be a Elam or Ilum or however you say that word, that planet or not, is really a moot point. That's what it is now for sure. I like that. Yeah, that made me happy.
They're definitely making an effort to keep it all intact.
Hey, Iron Eagle 2 is your favorite Iron Eagle movie, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
You remember when that guy from New Jersey or New York or whatever in the tank wants to blow the stuff up, and he runs with the remote controls, and he's getting closer, and he's getting shot the whole time as he's still running. He's like, "Blow, you bastards," or however, whatever he says. That's exactly what that scene makes me think of whenever Mando's running. It makes me so happy.
Maybe Bryce Dallas Howard did the homage to Apollo 13 and did the homage to Iron Eagle 2.
I hope so. I love Iron Eagle 2. We should watch that.
We should do a side-by-side of that scene in this episode and that scene in Iron Eagle 2 and put that out to the masses on the internet and blow people's minds.
Boom. You're welcome, everybody. Okay. I got to look. So, okay. Sorry, go ahead. Then I'll say what I was going to say.
I was just going to say one thing we haven't talked about is the taking off of the helmets.
We did we? She totally calls him out on it.
Yeah.
Says, "You're in a cult, you freak."
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I think is kind of, I'm glad that they did that, and I like that it's shown that there can be different sects and that he didn't have, you know, the way he was raised isn't the only way or even necessarily the right way, but it's a way.
Right.
I guess. But what I was going to say is, now that we're getting down to the end of this, before it all ends, we know we're going to get... I mean, I was plumb excited when she actually says, "You're looking for Ahsoka Tano." That's awesome. I didn't think she was going to actually say that. I thought she'd just say, "Go to this planet," or go to the next waypoint on your journey. and do the next adventure, and you'll eventually get there. But getting that out of the way, I want to go back to the whole filler episode now. Will this next episode, episode 12, be a filler episode? I say filler in air quotes, because there's a lot in this one. There's him meeting more Mandalorians. One's a Mandalorian we've seen a whole bunch before, and she says you're going to look for Ahsoka Tano. So a big name for people that are into the cartoons anyway.
You know, it makes me wonder if the next couple episodes they're going to bring in Billy Dee Williams. Apollo Creed
and Gina Carano.
Yeah.
Cara
because
Dune
they haven't and, we haven't seen
is
him
it
yet.
Is it Grief? Isn't it Grief?
Grief Karga.
Yeah. We haven't seen him. That's actually exactly what I was going to say. I think that that's going to be the next thing. I think we're going to get them. I really do. Because there's no way the next episode is just going to start with him shaking Ahsoka's hand or anything. Like, hey, found you.
So that brings up the point of, or the speculation of, when do we see Ahsoka? Do you think we're going to see Ahsoka like we saw Luke Skywalker in episode 7 in the last 30 seconds of the last episode of this season?
I don't think it'll be quite that much, but I really don't think it's going to be. I think if we see her before the last episode, it'll be very brief. So say, I think there's 8 episodes, and we're on this is the third, so we're on the fourth now, or we're going to see the fourth here soon, right? Or is this the fourth?
Right. No, this you're was, right.
Okay. So we're going to see the fourth here soon. If we see her, I don't think we're going to see her in the fourth episode. Say we see her in the fifth episode, then we won't see her again until the eighth episode. Does that make sense? I think we either see her in the last episode, or if it's in 2 episodes, or I think at most we're going to see her in 2 episodes, and one of those episodes is going to basically be what you said about Luke Skywalker and seeing him for the last few minutes.
Right.
Not few minutes, last few seconds. But do you think... So there's been a lot of talk of saying this is going to kind of test the waters for an Ahsoka spinoff series, or I should say spinoff series, but have her own series. Having said that, do you have any fear at all that Ahsoka will not survive this season of The Mandalorian?
Oh, I never really thought about that. I would be shocked if they killed her.
I would too. I would too. The only reason I even bring it up, I hadn't thought about that, and I saw some random internet person throw that into a comment the other day about how wondering if this is how we'll see Ahsoka die. Yeah, boy, that seems odd.
I sure don't think so, because we're talking about Ahsoka the White, like Gandalf the White. I mean, she is full-blown badass.
Yeah.
At this point in time. So, short of her getting attacked by the Emperor and Darth Vader at the same time, I don't know who's going to kill her.
Well, and I mean, yeah, and assuming Darth Vader's dead and the Emperor's a shell currently. I mean, because at this point, if her and Luke decided, because Luke would be the only other, the most powerful being in the galaxy, right? I'm using that term loosely. But as far as another force-wielding person, it'd really only be Luke as anybody that could stand up to her. You would think that at this point in time, she would probably could take him down, I would think.
It's possible.
Yeah. Or at least have a shot at it. So, yes, I agree. And the only reason I brought that up is because it would not be a very satisfying ending to see, like, Moff Gideon somehow best her with the Darksaber and cut her open. Now,
there's no way.
What if it was the end and Darth Maul shows up to reclaim the Darksaber and he and Ahsoka fight over it and Darth Maul killed her then? That would be different and that would be kind of cool. But he's dead,
Darth
too.
Maul, yeah.
So, or he should be.
That would be
We
difficult.
Assume he's dead unless Obi-Wan somehow didn't kill him either, like he didn't kill Anakin.
Right. We thought he was dead the first time.
We thought he was dead the first time.
And he came back.
So you never know. But I don't know. I wanted to get to that quicker, but I didn't because we started talking about Iron Eagle 2, which deserves it. So there you go. But, okay, well, the show ended.
Yep.
So it was good. We didn't do very good about talking about the show while it was happening that time. That's okay, though. That's not
right.
The point of these.
That's right.
It's just in the background while we talk.
Well, how many severed limbs would you chop off for that episode?
They could have, when he meets Bo-Katan, they could have stopped the episode there and had them just sit at a table and play Pinochle, and I'd have given it five severed limbs just because she was in it. So
right.
It didn't take much. It's going to get all five just because purely of how excited it was. And it's not just her. It's the location of the episode. It's how much fun the episode was to watch in general. And it was cool to see the Mandalorians act the way they did. And the fact that it, again, continues to move the plot forward just enough. But obviously the big name drop that did not have to happen in this episode, but did. It's five.
I would have to agree with you. I was going to give it a five also. We haven't given a whole lot of fives on anything on this show. But that was definitely a five. I would agree with that.
I am going to go out on a limb and say I will not give the next episode a five.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to do unless Ahsoka just shows up and starts murderizing people.
Ahsoka and Rex just show up and start killing everyone.
Right.
Now, I will say, no matter how confident I am that I won't give it a five, if it does totally switch it up and go to Greef Karga and Cara Dune and what they're doing right now, depending on what they're doing, that could be a totally different story in how I rate it, because it could suddenly be a totally different plot line that would move things forward. So,
that's true.
While I assume I will not, I'm still going to probably like the episode, though, so it won't matter. Either way, that's that.
So you guys can find Guardians of the Wills on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, thestaggeringdragon.com, and d20radio.com. Email us at stagdragpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and we always encourage you to leave us comments and feedback and let us know what you thought of Chapter 11, The Heiress. The music on this podcast is by the band Galactic Empire.
Nice. All right. Well, shockingly, next time we're going to talk about Chapter 12 of Mandalorian. So we'll be back for that. Bye-bye.
And may the force of others be with you.
You've been listening to the Guardians of the Wills podcast. This podcast is not affiliated with Disney or Lucasfilm and is meant for entertainment and educational purposes only.
Take the Foundling to the city of Caladan on the forest planet of Corvus. There you will find Ahsoka Tano. Tell her you were sent by Bo-Katan. And thank you. Your bravery will not be forgotten. This is the way.
This is the way.